Well, hello and good morning. Welcome into The Drive. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. I always wonder how the music versus my voice sounds over the air. Whenever we come on, Kyle, I feel like the music, like you fade it down really quick, so it's silent. But then I went back on the podcast and listened, because I like to swim in the music, kind of have them similar levels, you know, so the audience can hear my dumb voice, but the music is in there. And it's weird the difference between my headphones and what I hear live and then what I actually hear on the podcast when it's all leveled out, which makes total sense, of course. It should sound different.
Yeah, sometimes what I'll do is when I do that and I don't have a mic open where I can hear the speaker in here,
yeah,
I'll turn the speaker up because it provides a better angle
for you.
Indicator of what the voice to music ratio is than what's in my headphones.
Aha, I see how we do that. See how we do that on the show. We try to make the music, the voice, we try to make the audio experience the best for you possible. That's Kyle Madsen behind the glass. I'm Carmichael Dave. You are not. Katie is gone. She'll be back on Monday. We have a big, big show planned for you. We'll get to that in just a second. I had this, when Katie's gone, I will bring in people to help out, usually 8 to 9. It's fun. I enjoy it, at least. Greg Luckenbill is going to join us on Friday. He's going to come back, the original owner of the Sacramento Kings. We'll have part two of our, what was a 1 hour, will be a 2 hour conversation from 8 to 9. Last time we focused mainly on the history, how he brought the Kings over here, baseball, how that almost happened, football and the Raiders, how that really almost happened. We'll conclude on Friday with where we're at now and where he thinks Sacramento's going over the next decade, we'll say. Greg's always an interesting interview. When good ideas go bad, or should I say when bad ideas go worse, looks like I left it up to the listeners on Twitter. Tomorrow from 8 to 9, and I have not done this since my night. In fact, I don't even know if I did this on my night show. I don't think I did. I think there was phone stuff. I don't think there was in-person stuff. But it looks like unless the voting changes quite a bit over the next few hours, and I don't think it will, it looks like tomorrow from 8 to 9, Kyle, you'll love this. My wife is coming in, and she's going to be the co-host from 8 to 9.
This is going to be remarkable.
Yeah, and remarkable, remarkable is a really good term for it, because, like, there are really horrible things that have happened on this earth that have been technically remarkable, you know, remarkable. It's like when Ollivander, the guy who hands out the wands in Harry Potter, he was talking about Voldemort, and he said he's going to do great things, terrible things, but great things, same thing. This will be remarkable, but it might be the most horrible kind of remarkable ever.
Right.
65% of you, I said, is a good idea to have my wife guest host with me tomorrow. 65% of you, 614 votes so far, with about 14 hours to go. But right now, my wife is taking a huge lead. So that'll be interesting. If that happens, it may just be the most cringeworthy, uncomfortable radio ever.
Right, and that's what, before I vote, I want to know your thoughts on this. Is it a good idea for the sake of good radio? Or is it a good idea for you? Because my answer is different.
It's a horrible idea for me, and there's no way around that. The reason why I think people are voting the way they're voting is because they know it's a horrible idea for me. Therefore, that will probably make really good radio.
Yeah.
And it's not like my wife's going to be weighing in on, like, the Niners' offensive line. She's just going to chill here and then pop in and out. And I know one thing. I got to try to think of things to do with my wife that will be entertaining. That don't involve me accidentally showing home videos. I do think we will play. I'll pull out the old radio contest at some point, because I'm sure we'll have tickets tomorrow, much like we have all week. I think we'll pull out a version of make Melissa laugh, because there is a very easy way to make my wife laugh. It is, and I'm not going to say it because people will just win the contest. My wife is a challenge to get to laugh, but there's one way. There's one express ticket to make my wife instantly laugh over the phone, and the contest could end in 10 seconds. I'm going to see if somebody can pull that off, because you can't show pictures of me. That doesn't work on the radio. But there's another way. So we'll do that tomorrow. I got to come up with vehicles to basically, my goal tomorrow will actually probably be more to entertain my wife than it will the audience. And I don't know if that's a good idea. Burger King, as we're in the blah right now, before we get to what's going on, Burger King has a contest going on right now. And there's some hoops and some different things about this. But the bottom line is this. Burger King wants to push that they use fire to cook their burgers. They're flame broiled. So what they're doing is if you have been fired, you go online. I think you got to go to LinkedIn, which I have never understood that website, but I keep getting these like, Fred is waiting for you to join him on LinkedIn emails. Yesterday they announced their new Whopper severance deal in which you can get a free Burger King gift card in exchange for a public acknowledgement that you were fired. You go to LinkedIn, you post the message, I got fired, I want a free Whopper, hashtag Whopper severance. You then go to a link and you register for the delivery of the whatever the hell. Then you get yourself a gift card. That's a pretty, I mean, listen, whoever came up with that idea, good for them. It's getting pub. We're talking about it. People will do this. And then so I started thinking about all the different ways. Now, first off, first thing I could do is I could go on and say, I got fired from this job. I got fired from this job in 2012. That's easy. Kyle, have you ever been fired in an interesting way?
No, but I'm thinking that there's something where they verify your employment at Burger King. So I think I'm going to go get a job at Burger King real quick, get fired on purpose, and then get that Whopper.
And then get that Whopper back?
Yes, sir.
You know what? It's funny you mentioned that because that's where I was going to land this plane. What I don't know if it will work or not, and I've told a couple stories on the air over the last couple weeks, is can you get this Whopper if you've actually been fired from Burger King? Because I have worked one fast food job in my entire life. And that was at Burger King. That was when I was 17 years old. I'll set it up. It's kind of a, well, it'll start out as a very kind of sad and uncomfortable story. My best friend, Ben, his younger brother had brain cancer my senior year in high school. And as soon as we got out of school, we would go over to Kaiser Hospital on Morse to spend time with his younger brother. And we did this for a few months. It was a very long, very drawn out, very sad few months. In order to fund, because we both lived pretty far away from the hospital, we stayed at a couple's house, friends of ours. And in order to contribute, what we would do is we'd work nights at this Burger King, and then we would go hang out with his brother in the daytime. And this is the Burger King. It's still there, right over on Engel and Fair Oaks Boulevard in Carmichael. Still there today. So he and I were 18 and 17. He was 18, I was 17. And we'd roll in. We were kind of, we were goofy, young, partying, whatever dudes. We were 18-year-olds, basically. So we had a couple of experiences. We were late a few times. We were kind of flaky dudes. So one day we roll into work because we had to work the same shifts. That was our one requirement. We both worked the closing shift each night we worked. We rolled in, and the manager, he was this really large man named Eldon who wore overalls and his Burger King uniform under it. It's all true story. He called us into the office and informed us we were fired, but on top of being fired, we were also under investigation for attempted arson, because the night before, the dumpster on the side of the Burger King had burned and had burned a significant portion of the outside of this Burger King before the fire department got there to put it out. And obviously it was working the next day, so it wasn't that bad of a fire, but it was enough to burn the dumpster, the wood enclosure surrounding the dumpster, and the side of the building. So we both, we're like, dude, we did not burn down the Burger King. Like, this wasn't us. But apparently, I later found this out, either it was an employee or a witness. Somebody had described two young men that fit our description, apparently. So the next day, after we're fired, we get called downtown, and Ben and I are both interrogated in separate rooms at the local chapter of the FBI. The FBI was interrogating us for arson. And, dude, listen, as much as I like to talk about being from the streets of South Central Carmichael, I'm a pretty suburban dude, you know. born and raised in Carmichael, went to Rio Americano. I'm not a guy used to dealing with the FBI. So they put us in separate rooms, and it wasn't like, you know, the light overhead, and, you know, shining on you and one guy across. It wasn't like it was an NCIS or whatever the hell those shows are. It was a, you know, it was a little room, and this guy sits down. And I think they could tell right away. So my buddy had a little bit of a record. He was kind of a bad boy. I had nothing. So they're interrogating me. And obviously they have him in another room. I know what's going on here because they took breaks every once in a while. All right, well, I'm going to step out for a second. I'll be back in a few minutes. The agents are comparing stories, right?
Like corroborating.
Right. Okay. So I don't know. You know, listen, this was so long ago. But I do remember one thing. The guy comes back in. The FBI agent, and he says to me, he says, listen, son, I was a son. There's a train that's leaving, okay, and you're on this train. And you know how a train starts out slow and it increases in speed. And the longer you wait to jump off that train, the more it's going to hurt when you hit the ground. Train's pulling away. You're on the train right now. Jump off now. You got a long future ahead of you. Don't throw your future away. And what he meant was, you're lying to me, you know.
Right.
Come clean now and the punishment will be less. I didn't burn anything. I wouldn't know how to burn anything there. I had no idea.
Fire, typically.
Right. So I stayed strong. I don't think the guy believed me. In the end, long story short, we never did get officially charged. And it turned out, I went back. I found out years later it was a homeless person who had created a fire in the wooden enclosure, and I guess that's what somehow they figured out. That's what they came to the conclusion of. But anyways, point being, long story, no way is it short. I wonder if I can get a free Whopper by posting that I got fired from Burger King for trying to burn it down.
Bet you could. Get that severance.
Let me tell you, I used flame, okay? But according to Burger King and the FBI at one point, I used flame to flame broil a Burger King on Fair Oaks and Angle. We'll take a break. Matt Barrows is going to join us. There was a trade. Yeah, a trade yesterday by the San Francisco 49ers. He's going to talk to us about that as we update the Niners. We'll do the Raiders tomorrow. Old buddy Jim Cozumore, one of my mentors, he's going to come on at 8:05. We'll talk about everything with Coz. In the meantime, Morning Brew is next. 3 minutes away. Sports 1140 KHDK. Welcome in. Well, as we've been talking about, this Kyrie Irving-Isaiah Thomas trade is on hold as the Cavs are worried that Isaiah's hip injury might be worse than they originally feared when they gave him a physical. And they want more. Boston sounds like it's saying, we're not giving you anything more in this trade. Buyer beware. Was it caveat emptor, I think? Well, Isaiah Thomas popped up and said, hey, I'm good. He said, quote, I'm not damaged. I'll be back. I'll be the same player. He said that yesterday. So that's interesting. He said, again, I'm going to be back. I'm going to be the same player. No doctor has told me anything different than that. There's never been an indication this is something messing up my career. Maybe I'm not going to be back as soon this season as everybody wants me to be, but I'm going to be back. I'm going to be the same player again. And hey, listen, here's the thing. We are unabashed Isaiah Thomas fans here on the show. Obviously his time in Sacramento was fantastic. What was that? There's no objective with Isaiah Thomas. I can't be. Not for a guy that sat at city council meetings when he's from Seattle fighting to keep the team in Sacramento. But as Stephen A. Smith says, if I'm Cleveland, like when you go buy a used car, which let's say it's like $15,000. It's a good idea to have an independent mechanic go out and check the car. In Isaiah Thomas's case, it's like buying 100 used cars and then trusting the player. Like, Isaiah, I love you, and you're probably, maybe you're right. I'm sure you're right, dude. But what is Isaiah Thomas going to say? You know what? Honestly, I don't know.
I don't feel good.
I don't feel that great. It might affect my career. I'm not sure. I may never be the same player again, but I'm really looking forward to playing with LeBron James in Cleveland. Of course he's going to say this. So if I'm Cleveland, I say, I appreciate your attitude. We love you. But we're bringing in a mechanic to figure this thing out. We're not going to trust what you say. I mean, I don't know, Kyle.
That's you can't blame the Cavaliers here. I mean, if the centerpiece of your trade, who relies so much on his athleticism, may have an injury that's going to hinder that athleticism, because Isaiah Thomas is what, 5'8"? Like he needs that burst and that speed and that first step. And if that hip injury is going to hinder that in any way, that greatly diminishes the return they got for Kyrie Irving.
By the way, he's 5'9", Kyle. Oh, okay. Come on, man. When you get that small, every inch counts.
I'm 5'9 on the dot, and I've stood next to Isaiah Thomas, and he is definitely not taller than
me. He's 5'9 in heels. Well, the 49ers have made a trade. They've traded Vance McDonald, their tight end, for a fifth round pick to the Steelers in exchange for a fourth round pick. So Vance McDonald's basically worth one round is what it comes to. He signed a 3-year, $19, almost $20 million contract extension back in December. Career highs last year in receiving yards, yards per reception, and touchdowns. Although, let's go behind the curtain here. His receiving yards, 391, touchdowns, 4. That's good numbers in 11 games. Heath Miller is gone. He's been gone a year for the Steelers. They tried Ladarius Green last year. That didn't pan out. Jesse James has shown flashes, but inconsistent in training camp. So this adds a little bit of help for the Steelers with McDonald.
I mean,
that's their idea. That's the idea behind it. Honestly, Kyle, you know what I think this is? Speaking of Kyle's, I think it's Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch's way of saying, you know what, we're doing everything we can to rid this team of Trent Baalke. Yeah. And everything he's done and did, and if something happened to your ACL, we're not going to sign you to a long-term deal now. I think that's just really what this is part of.
Yeah, and Vance McDonald, he was overdrafted to begin with. The extension he got was bad. He's not good at football, man. He's not good. He's dropped more passes or dropped passes at a higher rate than any tight end since he came into the league. He's just not the player they thought they were going to get, and they got rid of him for, like you said, to move up one round in the draft, which when you're rebuilding is huge.
George Kittle out of Iowa has turned some heads in Niners camp, and by all accounts, not only a better pass catcher so far, but really his ability to block and run routes is going to thrust him into kind of a big, big role for the Niners. So they're gambling, but you know what? If you're going to gamble, that's fine. It's not like Vance McDonald is going to keep the Niners out of the playoffs this year. I don't see that happening. J.J. Watt hopefully will return healthy this year and be the J.J. Watt of old. He can never play another down again, and hopefully in his obituary he's going to have his actions over the last few days. We've been talking about all the devastation down in Houston and southwest Louisiana. J.J. Watt has now raised $5 million for Harvey Relief. This is something where he went on and he made, you know, he did one of those little charitable website dealies called You Caring, and he pledged $100,000 of his own money. They were trying to raise $500,000. By late morning on Tuesday, that had topped $1.5 million. He raised it to two, then three, then four. $5 million was passed yesterday. He just keeps raising it, going to $6 million as of this morning. And you know what? There's a lot of crap in the world, and there's a lot of crap in sports, and there's a lot of crappy people in sports. And you know, as sports media, we highlight all that because we love to talk about it. This is one of those times where I think it's definitely okay to focus on a good story. J.J. Watt doing phenomenal work and showing that he's a badass off the field as well.
Yeah, it's outstanding. Seeing him do that, seeing all the athletes I think Chris Paul donated money to it. I think the Astros might have donated money to it. The Titans owner, Amy Adams Strunk, donated $1 million to that fund. I mean, it's incredible seeing not only his actions, but how that's guiding the actions of others. And I bag on J.J. Watt a lot. I make fun of the guy a lot. But this is something that just, I mean, is really, really cool what he's been able to do.
You owe J.J. Watt 1,000 apologies.
That's, man.
That's a lot.
I got to get started.
And written apologies, like on the chalkboard. Do you have any jerseys? I know you're a huge football fan. Do you own any jerseys?
I do.
You do. When we get back, I'll tell you how a guy like you, a guy like me, people that do own jerseys, there's a big debate. Should grown men wear jerseys? Well, now wearing a jersey with this new company coming out might be the cheapest thing you ever do. They got a pretty good idea. I wonder if it'll work or not. We'll tell you about that next. We'll get back into the Isaiah Thomas hip injury, but how you can wear jerseys for cheap next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.
This is Kyle Madsen with your top stories on Sports 1140. The 49ers made a trade yesterday. They sent tight end Vance McDonald and a fifth-round pick to the Steelers in exchange for a fourth-round pick in next year's draft. McDonald set career highs in yards and touchdowns in 11 games last season. The A's dropped game two to the Angels last night, 8-2. Home runs by Matt Joyce and Matt Olson accounted for Oakland's only runs. They'll look to salvage a win in that series tonight, and you can listen right here on Sports 1140, pregame at 6:45. First pitch is at 7:07. The Giants also lost last night, 6-3 to the Padres in San Diego. Matt Moore took the loss for the G-Men. The rubber match in that series is tonight. Time to watch the Sacramento Republic FC host the Colorado Springs Switchbacks FC Saturday at Papa Murphy's Park. Tickets at sacrepublicfc.com. With updates every 30 minutes and breaking news first, I'm Kyle Madsen on your home for Oakland A's baseball, Sports 1140.
All right. 6:33. Speaking of classic rock bands, Creedence Clearwater Revisited, Three Dog Night, September 15th, Thunder Valley. We got tickets for you in the 8 o'clock hours. We have all week long Jim Cosimore speaking to the 8 o'clock hours, going to join us at 8:05. Matt Barrows of the Sacramento Bee, 7:35. He's going to give us an update on the 49ers, including the big Vance McDonald trade yesterday. Who is this, Sager?
Is this guy? Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how are you?
Good. Hey, I was just calling in because you mentioned about how Isaiah Thomas was at all the city council meetings.
Yes.
Right when he joined the team. I actually took a picture with him there when he was there, and that's like my favorite thing about him.
I agree. And listen, that, you know, most people I think are going to love how he played, and they should, and it was great. But you're absolutely right. If you were out at the city council meetings and you saw a guy, and you just compare that to a douchebag like Spencer Hawes, who, I mean, you know, the day that it was announced the Kings would probably be going to Seattle, tweeted out Supersonics. You know, Isaiah Thomas, who's from Seattle, reps Seattle, loves Seattle, was not only trying to keep the Kings here, but was very public in those city council meetings and went on his own to multiple meetings. This was not something that the team asked him to do because they can't ask him to do that. That's just not appropriate. He went out on his own, and with all the grassroots people, he was right down there with us. He was at the rally when they decided to stay. So, yeah, I mean, it's just one of the many things that speaks to the dude's character.
Yeah, no, I love the guy, and I just hope success for him because he deserves it.
Sager, do you ever wear sports jerseys?
I actually don't. I don't own one.
Do you believe that grown men should not wear sports jerseys?
I'm a very hairy individual, so I don't believe I should be wearing them.
Okay, well, that'll get into the rules here in a second, but a new company is giving fans the opportunity to wear a new jersey. Every single, not the state, a new sports jersey every week by renting them. Rep the Squad is the name of this company. They're selling monthly subscriptions that allow fans to pick what jerseys they want to wear and have them sent out one at a time. When a jersey is returned back in a prepaid envelope, the next jersey in their locker online is sent out. Kyle, it's $19.95 a month for adults and $16.95 for kids.
I'm going to hard pass. Although, if you're a fan of Brooklyn sports, do you call this Netflix?
Oh, dude, see, that's... Oh, I'm sorry, wrong one here. You were supposed to get a buzzer. There we go. That's just gross. That's a gross joke, but I kind of approve it. They say buying jerseys tough. It's expensive. How many jerseys can you really afford to own, they say. Now, so far, they're starting out with three teams. Brooklyn is not one of them. They're starting out with the Seattle Seahawks, the Detroit Lions, and the San Francisco 49ers, which is very random, except when you see that the company is Seattle-based, and amongst the backers, amongst the backers is former, speaking of the Seattle Supersonics, the guy that stole the team and sold it to Oklahoma City, Howard Schultz of Starbucks fame. And then you also have Seahawks wide receiver Doug Baldwin as an investor, Lions wide receiver Golden Tate, and L.A. Chargers tackle Russell Okung. Those are your three athlete investors, all former Seattle Seahawks. So that's what makes sense. That's why Detroit, because that's where Tate is. That's why that's happening. Now, they say there's a charge if, for example, a Raider jersey were to come back all cut up. But if you return a dirty jersey, which they expect, they're immediately dry cleaned at no cost to you. So it is kind of a Netflix. That's exactly what I first thought of. It's a Netflix for jerseys. I still feel when you get into clothing, and if Katie were here, I guarantee you she'd pop in because she, I kind of got grossed out when I found out there's a, I don't know what the company's name is, but she rents dresses. Whenever there's like a foofy thing to go out and do, and they'll rent, she rents a dress. There's a dress rental company, mail order, and they send out two each time in case they don't fit different sizes. And I've been there when she's opened up the box and, oh, here's some dresses I have. And then she'll pop them on, wear them to the thing, and then send them back, which makes sense.
Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, for me, I own three suits that I've gathered over the years, and I rotate between those suits. I found with the girls a lot of times they don't – like she will – I've asked her this before. Katie – God, I wish she was here right now for this. She will not wear the same outfit twice in a season. Like, she might wear a different top or a different skirt sure. that match, but she won. And I'm thinking, who the hell is going to notice? Like, wear it. Who cares if it's a good outfit? Wear it, like, I mean, not every day. I don't know, man. That's kind of gross. I don't think I can get behind that, wearing a jersey that I know somebody else has had on their body.
Yeah, it's weird.
And plus, go ahead.
Plus, part of the jersey experience for me anyway is owning it, is having it and saying, this is how much I like this player. Like, this is how I like this player enough that I want to rep this player all the time.
Well, I'm sure they have options, for example, like you can buy the jersey, I would imagine.
Probably.
And one of the sales things in there says, well, you know, maybe you want to wear the jersey of somebody on your fantasy team, which I've never done that. My fantasy team does not dictate a jersey I wear. I don't know, man, and there's a big debate now as to whether or not grown men should wear jerseys. Here's my rules on it. Number one, if you're going to wear a jersey, rule number one, you must wear a shirt underneath the jersey.
Oh.
Really? Do you wear basketball jerseys without a shirt underneath?
Yeah.
Oh, Kyle, no.
Yeah, it was Sean Livingston jersey. It's great.
Oh, you gotta wear shirts.
I do sometimes. But if I'm out, like I was in Vegas during the NBA playoffs.
Yes.
And it's hot in Vegas during the NBA playoffs. So I cruise around without a shirt under my jersey.
I think the only exception where you don't have to wear a shirt underneath the jersey is if you're actually wearing the jersey in a basketball game that you're playing. If you're playing a pickup game and you have a jersey on, that's fine. When I see a guy with a basketball jersey with no shirt underneath, I'm profiling him as somebody who's probably going to attack me at some point. I don't know why. That's just, you got to wear a shirt. Same thing with basketball or a football, baseball jersey. Yeah, I see people with the shirtless jersey wearers. They're also generally Cowboy fans. I don't know why. I don't know what the connection is there. And I think, listen, I don't sit around my house and wear a jersey, but you know, this weekend's Florida State game. Guess what? I'm probably going to wear my Peter Warwick jersey.
That's a good jersey.
I'll wear a classic FSU jersey. Kings games, I'm going to wear a jersey. I think there's a difference between wearing a jersey. You know what? I didn't even wear a jersey. The whole don't wear a jersey thing. I don't get it. From the 916, men rent tuxedos all the time. It's not much different. I don't know. I see the point. I kind of with you, Kyle, though. Buying a jersey is like it's an extra commitment to that player. You're going to hold on to that player a little bit longer if you own that guy's jersey.
Yeah, I own a Chris Borland jersey.
Do you?
Yeah, I got it like 2 weeks before he retired. It was just brutal.
That's
so
in my closet,
it was Patrick Willis, Alden Smith, and Chris Borland.
Oh.
All the same. Dude, just brutal.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Brutal.
You should just wear those on consecutive days.
Got rid of the Willis and Smith ones.
What was I going to say when it comes to jerseys? I think it's fine. I think it's okay. I think there's a large, you know, grown men shouldn't wear jerseys. Well, you know, grown men shouldn't wear freaking Tommy Bahama shirts either, but they do. We'll take a break. When we get back, J.J. Watt making a huge donation or helping to make a huge donation to Harvey Relief. And, hey, you know what? We talked to you yesterday about the Astros and Rangers going at it for not being able to trade home games. Tampa Bay was the home of the Astros last night. They did a pretty cool thing. Plus, we have some ESPN stats for you. We'll tell you what Giancarlo Stanton has done now that only three other guys have done in baseball history. Next, I'm sure you can guess on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. Chris Sale is on fire. By the way, Coase is going to join us. Jim Coase more at 8:05. Matt Barrows at 7:35. Chris Sale recorded his 1,500th career strikeout last night. What might surprise you is he reached that mark quicker than anybody else when it comes to innings pitched. 1,290 innings for Chris Sale. You know, I wonder, that'd be a great contest. I'm pausing to see if anyone could name anybody else in the top five. You want to give it a go, Kyle? We're talking about fewest innings needed to reach 1,500 career strikeouts. Chris Sale, quickest in baseball history.
Randy Johnson.
Randy Johnson is number four. Well done.
Bob Feller.
Bob Feller, not in the top five. I'll give you three strikeouts here. They're actually all names you'll know. And
Pedro.
Pedro Martinez is number three.
Clemens.
Roger Clemens would have been my first guess. Roger Clemens, when it comes to innings pitched to get to 1,500, Clemens not on the list. That would have been my first guess. So I'm not docking you for that. You still have one strike. You got Chris.
I said Randy Johnson is Chris Sale.
You said Randy Johnson.
Pedro.
You said Pedro Martinez. There's two others. One, when you hear it, you'll go, oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense. But he's kind of not the most obvious one. And then the other one is, other than Roger Clemens, the most obvious one. Played in the 70s and 80s. Threw really, really fast.
And Nolan Ryan?
Nolan Ryan is number five.
Okay. That was like too obvious.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
And he didn't, I guess it's innings because he wasn't like a star in the beginning of his career.
1,384 and two-thirds innings to get to 1,500 strikeouts as opposed to 1,290 for Chris Sale. So Chris Sale, number one. Pedro, three. Randy Johnson, four. Nolan Ryan, five. I said number two. You'll hear it and you'll go, okay, yeah, I get it, but not obvious.
Maddox,
no. Not a Hall of Famer.
Really?
Later on in the show, we're going to talk about flashes in the pan. This would be an interesting one. Or how about this? A couple weeks ago, we were talking about players you wish you could give a clean bill of health to see how their career would have panned out. This guy and his teammate.
Oh, Gooden.
Gooden is a good one and actually a really good guess. But no, Gooden not on the list. This guy and his teammate once upon a time were thought to be the future of this franchise, and injuries killed them both. This guy went on, number two on the list. He went on to have a kind of a resurrected.
Oh, Kerry Wood.
Kerry Wood is absolutely correct, ladies and gentlemen. Kerry Wood, that's really well done, Kyle. I got to be honest with you. 1,303 innings. Second only to Chris Sale, fewest innings pitch needed for 1,500 career strikeouts. Sale, Wood, Martinez, Johnson, Nolan Ryan. And what I was speaking of is once upon a time for the Cubs, and this is before they were good and before they were expected to win World Series and they had rings. Once upon a time, Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor were like the men and the future. I mean, you remember Kerry Wood's 20 strikeout game. Like, the dude was the second coming of Roger Clemens.
He's incredible.
And then, you know, injuries got to him and That's sad. Giancarlo Stanton hit his 51st home run yesterday. Only three players have hit more in a season before the end of August. Would you like to take a guess at these? And this is
three players.
It's as obvious as you might. Don't outthink it.
Barry Bonds. Sammy Sosa. Mark McGwire.
Boom, boom, boom. Absolutely well done. Only Bonds, Sosa, and McGwire. You know what I hate about this? And I've talked about this before. I freaking hate it. Is the fact that I read a stat like that. The first thought in my head is, how hard are they testing Stanton?
And dude, have you seen him?
I know. And let me be clear. I'm not. There's going to be some sports radio takes today. They're like, well, he must be juicy. That's not me. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I hate the fact that there's a voice in my head when I see something like this and I start wondering. Because you know what? The other three guys you named, what do they all have in common? They all pretty much were porcupines with needles hanging out of them. And I hate that they and a lot of other people contributed to the fact that guys like Giancarlo Stanton, who they're built like modern-day Greek gods. That shouldn't even be a thought. It should just be, oh, my goodness, look at how amazing this guy is. The Los Angeles Dodgers have lost three straight games, matching their season-long losing streak. They are the only team in baseball without a four-game losing streak this entire season. That's actually really impressive. And finally, Roger Federer improves to 17-0 opening matches at the U.S. Open. He went five sets last night with an American. I forget his name. It's like Tiafo or something like that. I watched the end of it. I actually did after saying I didn't care about the U.S. Open. I watched the end of it, which my wife and I were watching. It was actually really entertaining. Fed had the break, was going up, and then he got broken, and then he came back and broke the other dude to win the match. That's my breakdown. 17-0 in opening matches. But here's the problem. He went five sets. Only two players have won the U.S. Open after a five-set win in the first match. You know, I'm not even going to try with you.
Jimmy Connors.
I know. You can give me all day till like 9 p.m. and probably Wikipedia, and I wouldn't get this. John Newcomb in 1973 and Patrick Rafter.
Rafter, of course.
Of course. Yeah. Of course, Patrick Rafter in 1998. When we get back, we'll recap the top stories of the first hour. And here you go, kids. You want to bet on the Warriors to make the playoffs? You saw a lot of people, including the Maloof brothers, put a ton of money down on Floyd Mayweather Jr. Somebody put, an anonymous bettor, put like $1.2 million down on Mayweather to win, and he ended up winning $200,000. That's how crazy the odds were. That's nothing compared to if you want to bet on the Warriors just making the playoffs. We'll tell you what you got to put down in order to win something. It's pretty ridiculous. We'll take a break. Come back in three on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.